does God put round pegs in square holes? But the underlying theme is discernment. When I was in the Air Force for 3 years, I was a recruiter for healthcare, doctors, nurses, dentists, pharmacists, things of this nature. And we had a job description, and the objective was to find people who were qualified. Educationally, age, GPA, experience, height, weight, all those kind of things, criminal records. So the objective was to put a round peg in a round hole. So I got to thinking about this 3 or 4 months ago, and I thought, well, you know, I wonder if God does that. And then it occurred to me in the book of Isaiah 55, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So what I'd like to do tonight, very briefly, I'd like to share with you some biblical people. Now, this is the Wednesday night group, so you're all going to know these people in general. I'm going to share a couple of extra thoughts with you, and we're going to take an opportunity and say, yep, number one, this is a round peg and a round hole. Or number two, no, this is definitely a square peg and a square and a round hole. Or maybe for a while they were a round peg, and now they're a square peg, so maybe it has switched back and forth. So there are no trick people, okay? Then we're going to talk about three definite round pegs that God said, nope, not going to work. And then we'll go back to Exodus and talk a little bit about the individual that God ordained to do all the stonework and all the work that he's been done. Let's talk a little bit about Moses. He was the leader of the Hebrews. He was perhaps the most important figure in all of Judaism. He was raised in the court of Pharaoh. He led the Hebrew people out of Egypt. How old was he when he left Egypt? 40. Very good. Excellent. Be thinking about it. We're going to talk about David, and I want to know how many sons he had. I learned something. I didn't know how many sons he had. He learned all the wisdom of Egypt, and he was mighty in word and deed, and that's found in Acts 7, 22 through 29. He killed an Egyptian man. God spoke to him in a burning bush. He was instrumental in the plagues of Egypt. He was given the Ten Commandments, and he parted the Red Sea, which is in Exodus 14, 13 through 14. But he wasn't eloquent, and he was slow of speech, according to Exodus 4, 11. And God gave him Aaron to be his spokesperson, because Moses was really pretty adamant. You know, Lord, you got the wrong person here. This isn't going to work. He got himself into a little trouble, however, because the Lord told him to speak to a rock and it will produce water for your people, but he chose to do something else. He chose to strike the rock, and God was not pleased with that. In fact, some say that God was so unpleased with that that was the reason why he was never allowed to go into the promised land when he was 120 years of age and died. Okay, so now comes the time to make an assessment. Is he a round peg in a square hole? Is he a round peg in a round hole? Think about it. Think about it. There's no right or wrong answer. A round peg goes very easily into a round hole. A square peg going into a round hole is something you've got to force in, and it's just, yeah. Okay, let's take a vote. Remember, studies show that if we have participation, three things happen. Your anxiety goes up because you don't know what's going to happen, and that's a good thing. Why should I be anxious? Number two, you have a tendency to think longer and more intent on what's going on. And number three, as I mentioned in the beginning, you're not zooming in and zooming out on me. So there's a hidden agenda why we're having this as a participatory experience. Okay, so back to Moses. Round peg in a round hole. Yes, no, raise your right hand if you think that's who he is. There's no wrong answers. You can't make a mistake. Round peg in a round hole. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Left hand. Square peg in a round hole. God really had to use a hammer to hammer him in there. Anybody want to explain your rationale? It's not necessary. I'm not going to call on you. Yep. 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 And see all the people that suffered. Yeah, yeah. And there were a lot of people who he was trapped. Can you imagine leading that number of people wandering all over the place? No air conditioning, no Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, listen, I know your shoes don't wear out, but I'm sick and tired of this diet that we're on. Good. Let's talk about David. Now, this David is, this is tricky. According to 1 Samuel 13, 13 through 14, David was a man after God's own heart. So keep that in the back of your mind when you're trying to make an assessment. Remember, King Saul became or fell out of favor with God because of some of his actions. And Samuel went to look for a new king, and he went to Jesse because Jesse had lots of sons, and he interviewed seven of them, and none of them were ordained by God. And so he said, you know, do you have anybody else? And we said, well, we got David, but he's out in the fields, the sheep. And so he came in, he interviewed. Scholars tell us he was probably somewhere between 12 and 16 years of age when he became king. Initially, David found favor with King Saul. In fact, he became an armor bearer. Best buds. He also was able to play music, which soothed the king because the king had a tendency to be a little bit disruptive. He killed Goliath. Now, King Saul became extremely jealous of David. He attempted to murder David on several occasions, but David never raised a hand against him. Trivia pursuit. How many sons did David have? I didn't know this. Yeah, we usually hear about 5, 6, or 7, but according to my research, he had 20 sons plus daughters. So we'll just throw that out there. You could kind of weigh that for whatever it's worth. He also had a relationship with Bathsheba, which resulted in a pregnancy and a child. He arranged to have Bathsheba's husband Uriah put at the front of the battle so that he would be killed. And David had a very dysfunctional family. Round peg, round hole. Square peg, square hole. Process the information we've talked about. Who thinks that David was a round peg in a round hole? Okay, ooh, wow, that was pretty good. Who thinks David was a square peg in a round hole? Who did, don't know. Yeah, it's hard to know. Yeah, David, a man after God's heart, but it's very interesting because he did a lot of things that shouldn't have been done. And yet God, exactly. But you know, isn't that like us? Things go pretty well, and then we kind of put our foot in the water and slip. And so, a lot to be learned from David. Interesting guy. Interesting guy. Let's go on to Peter, also known as Simon or Cephas. Peter was outspoken. He was strong-willed. He was impulsive. but he was also an apostle. In fact, he was probably one of the most prominent characters in the Gospels. According to Galatians 2:9, Peter was a pillar of the church. Was Peter married? Yeah, he had a mother-in-law. Tradition says that he was crucified upside down. He was a leader, and he was the first to confess Jesus, quote, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is found in Matthew 16, 16 through 17. Let's look on the other side of the spectrum. Peter also, according to Matthew 16, 20, left the boat to greet Jesus, but then he began to sink. Why? Yeah, he lost his vision. He took his eyes off Jesus. John 18:10 says that he drew a sword and attacked the servant of the high priest. Remember, that was in Gethsemane. Matthew 26:30 says that he said that he would never forsake the Lord, and yet in Matthew 26:70 through 74, we find that he denied that he had ever known the Lord three times. Matthew 16, 18 through 19, Peter is called the rock. I understand the character sketch that we're giving is very brief, very compressed. Round peg, round hole. Square peg, round hole. You think this one's tough? I've got one that's really going to be tough. Okay, who says he's a round peg in a round hole? Okay, pretty good support. Who says he's a square peg in a round hole that God had to continually bang him in to get going? Good, good. I think there's support for both sides there. Thanks for playing. Let's talk about Paul. He was a missionary mostly to the Gentiles. He was an attorney. He was a lawyer. He probably was a member of the Sanhedrin. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Romans 1 and 2, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. He was converted on the road to Damascus, according to Acts 9, 1 through 19. He took three missionary journeys. Now, in his early life, he was a religious zealot. He was brutal. He was violent. He was relentless. He persecuted the early church. He could be classified as a religious terrorist. Now, there are some lessons learned from Paul. One is that God can save anyone. Number two, anyone can be humble and a powerful witness. And number three, anyone can surrender completely to God. Paul, round peg, round hole, after a while. Round peg in a square hole. Round peg, round hole. Okay, good. Round peg in a square hole. That's very difficult. That's difficult because there's components that would fit in either. But that's very remarkable. Let's talk about Mary. She was the wife of Joseph. She was the mother of Jesus. And they tell us she was somewhere between the ages of 15 and 16 when Jesus was born. According to Luke 1:28, she was highly favored, which in the Greek means possessed much grace. The Bible tells us that she was a righteous woman. From the cross, Jesus assigned John to care for Mary. There is no record of her death. Nowhere in the scriptures does Jesus or anyone else give praise, glory, or adoration toward Mary. There is one exception. Elizabeth, when she went to visit, She did give praise, but if you look at it in context, it was that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, and it was the Messiah that was getting the praise. It's interesting if you look at the interaction of Jesus with his mother. In Luke 11, 27 and 28, there was a lady who said, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps that thou hast suckled." The next verse, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." So he didn't really buy into the praise that that lady was giving to Mary. At the wedding of Cana, where the first miracle occurred, Jesus appears to rebuff his mother by saying, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" In other words, the shortage of wine, it's not my problem. What do you want me to do? So there's two examples. In Mark 3, verses 20 through 21, we have another example of the family of Jesus really thinking that Jesus has kind of gone off the rails here. A little crazy. And he declares that those who do the will of God are his family, not necessarily his biological family. I want to share the words of a song. I love this song. It's one that we hear at Christmas quite often, and it's entitled, "Mary, Do You Know?" Can you imagine being Mary, 15 or 16 years old, being visited by an angel? "Mary, do you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, do you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked with angels where angels trod? When you kiss your little boy, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb." I love that song. But it kind of humanizes the situation that Mary was in at a very young age. And the Bible says that she pondered all of these in her heart. And I interpret that as being discerning. And that's kind of the underlying theme of what we're talking about tonight. Okay, Mary, round peg, round hole. Come on, let's go here. She's about the epitome of an example of a round peg in a round hole. So I'm just going to move on with that one. You did very well. I want to present to you three people that appeared to be round pegs in round holes but got themselves into trouble. Anybody know who I'm going to be sharing with you? Sorry? I didn't hear you.
David?
No, not David. Judas is one of them, and this is going to be a tough one. We're going to talk a little bit about Paul and Uzzah. Remember, Uzzah was in the holy service of the tabernacle back in 2 Samuel 6, verse 7. They were in the process of moving the Ark of the Covenant. They had a new cart, the ox stumbled, and Uzzah did what? Reached out to prevent the ark from falling over. Now, here's a round peg, right? He's in the service. He's got responsibility for setting up, transporting, and tearing down. And yet, he reaches out, and he becomes disobedient. And he instantaneously. So just because you're a round peg in a round hole doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to go well. Judas, he was a disciple. He was the treasurer. He witnessed for 3 years the ministry and the teachings and the miracle of Jesus. Round peg, round hole for a while. At least by appearances, God looks on the inside, man looks on the outside. And yet, Judas betrayed. Paul was prevented from a missionary trip to Asia Minor that he really wanted to go on, according to Acts 16:6. He eventually went on to Macedonia. But again, Paul was probably a round peg in a round hole, but God had different plans. We go back to our verse that we talked about initially. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Let's take a moment and go back to Exodus, because this guy really is impressive. Exodus chapter 31, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 11. Bezaleel is only mentioned a couple times in the scriptures. Historians tell us that this particular individual was somewhere between 9 years old and 13. Let that sink in. Somewhere between 9 and 13. Now, if you notice on verse number 2, it tells who his father is, but it also tells who his grandfather was. His grandfather was Hur. Now, who was Hur? Exactly. Aaron was on one side holding Moses' arms up, and Hur was on the other side. Now, it's interesting, Aaron was quite a guy, a warrior, yada, yada, yada. Hur was just an arm holder. But two generations later, God comes in, looks at Hur's grandson, Bezaleel, and anoints him. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. He filled him with wisdom. He filled him with understanding. He filled him with knowledge and all manner of workmanship. He also gave him some helpers. They worked in cutting stone, in silver, in gold, in brass. And as you continue down, it talks about clothing and candlesticks and all those kind of things. So God chose this 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 13-year-old to do these incredible things. Let's go back to the book of Genesis very briefly. Genesis 1:1 says what? In the beginning, God created. And here's kind of where we have to be discerning, in my opinion. Some are teachers, some are prophets, some are ministers and things of this nature. But some do other things, and God honors that. God is a God of creation. God is a God of beauty. In fact, later in the book of Genesis, God looked out over his creation and said it is good. The Bible says that the first shall be last and the last shall be first, and I'm not sure what that means, but I'm wondering if there aren't people who sit in these pews. Don't appear to be very involved. And yet when they go home, they're prayer warriors. I remember Charles Finney, very prominent in this area. He had a man by the name of, I think his name was Hall. And he would go into the village 6, 7, 8, 9 days ahead, rent a room, and spend that entire time in prayer. He never went to the meetings. He did intercessory prayer. Few people would know who he was. People in church circles would know who Charles Finney was, but they wouldn't know who this guy was. I remember reading about the Sunday school teacher who led Billy Graham to the Lord. I don't know what you think about Billy Graham. I don't really want to have a discussion about them, but I know a young man in Scotland who got saved in England under the ministry of Billy Graham. He happens to be a pediatric orthopedic surgeon, and his wife happens to be a urologist. So they have a great amount of influence, and he was saved under the ministry of Billy Graham. What's the point? The point is that My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We need to have discernment. We need to be very careful. We need to be prepared. We need to be the round peg in the round hole, even if it's not very impressive from our standard. God's in the business of doing great things. God's in the business of doing great things with common people. God's in the business of doing great things with you. Father, we praise, we exalt, we lift up your holy name because you're worthy. And we thank you for these examples from the Bible where you have taken people and changed their lives. And we pray, Father, that even in this hour, you might comfort us, that we might be obedient in whatever role you have called us to do. We know that it is an anointing of the Holy Spirit during the church age that allows us to do these things. Again, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we exalt your holy name, and we ask this in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. Let me share with you one missionary's letter. This comes in from the Mann family. They're in Hungary. Dear pastor and friends, we are back in Hungary. I can't say that word. Hungary. Okay, and doing well. The Lord has provided a home for which we are very thankful. I've been working with some Hungarian churches since 2013 in different capacities. Round peg, round hole. This is the first time that we are starting from absolute ground zero. We arrived in the city not knowing one person. Well, that was a few weeks ago, and now we are starting to know a few people. The family that we are renting from are amazingly kind to us, and when our schedules work out, we will be having them over for dinner. My kids have made a friend that we met at a lemonade stand, and small conversations were happening between others as we go out and learn our new city. Excuse me. When we arrived back in Hungary in June,